Here's Charlene Steinkamp.
Do you feel loved or do you feel forsaken, abandoned, rejected, and hated by your spouse, who was your very best friend on your wedding day? I understand all the hurt, the pain, and the fear regarding your marriage problems that you are facing right now. Today, may you know that God loves you so very much, in spite of all your circumstances that you're going through right now. May you always, always remember and know in your heart that you are loved by God. He created you and He wants a personal relationship with you every single day. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now that is true love. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Now God has a plan and a purpose for you right now. You may not see any hope for your future because of all your marriage problems, your financial problems, or possibly you're dealing with health issues, or even your children are having problems because they're acting out their hurt, their pain, and their rejection of their mom or dad, saying they do not need to be part of the family any longer. My prayer for you and for your family is in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come to you right now, and I ask that you will touch this dear person, this dear stander, who is hurting so much because of their marriage problems, because of all the pain, the rejection, because of all the failures that they have had in their marriage, or their spouse having caused marriage problems to a degree far beyond that they ever dreamed that they would ever face. Lord, we're coming to you right now. We're asking you to open this dear person's spiritual eyes and ears, touch their heart, to give them hope and encouragement from you. Father, may you lift up the scales off their eyes and unplug their ears to hear your truth, your word, your message for this dear person, not from anybody else. Lord, we know that your word is alive, and we pray as we share scriptures today that they will come alive to this dear one and give them hope and encouragement. Lord, nothing is too hard for you. And Lord, I know that you can heal and resurrect dead marriages because you did it for Bob and I. So Lord, I pray that you will give this person hope and encouragement because you've given us a miracle in our marriage. And what you did for us, you can do for them. And we will give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to do in this family's life and for generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is going to take you on a spiritual journey that will change you forever. Call out to your Lord every day, seeking Him with all your heart, and He will start directing your footsteps, showing you His will and His way of how He can resurrect your hurting or dead marriage. One of my favorite scriptures is in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." That became a very important scripture for me, because every time I'm in a crisis, or any time my children are in a crisis, or loved ones are in a crisis, or all our standards, I pull out that scripture and I say, call to Him, and He will answer you, and tell you things that you do not know. In fact, God is going to speak to you. All you need to do is say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to know you in a new way like I've never known you before. He is going to show you the great and unsearchable things. In fact, I looked up the word unsearchable in the dictionary, and it says unfathomable. He is going to show you great and unsearchable things. In Matthew chapter 7:7-8, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Is that an awesome scripture for you today? So what do you need to do? You need to call to him and he will answer you, and keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. God wants to be part of your daily life. God loves you so very much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you and for your spouse and for your children. Do you know him personally? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be Savior and Lord of your life? Or has God not been part of your life or your marriage at all? Have you started crying out to God for help now because of your marriage problems? Great, because he is right there waiting to be invited into your life, into your mess of a marriage. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I teach our children and now my grandchildren about Jesus. I always see in our storybooks Jesus standing at the door. He's knocking at it. But there's one big secret and one big point that you teach your children. There's no handle on the outside. There's no handle for him to walk in. The handle is on our side to open the door and say, Jesus, come into my life. You may have walked away from him. You may have had so many marriage problems that you have not cried out to him. You've just walked in the flesh and just been battling your marriage problems by living the world's way. Jesus is right there now, and he's saying, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door. Invite me in. Ask me to come in and help you and guide you and direct you and to solve your marriage problems. Do you know John chapter 3, verse 16? It's a very popular scripture, and I know that if you've been in church, you know John 3, 16. But let me read the whole passage through John chapter 3, verse 21. We often only hear John 3, 16, but I want you to hear and discern where your spouse may be right now. In John 3:16, we start with, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's important for you to remember. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 19 continues, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Where's your spouse? Where are you with that? Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Every day, Bob and I talk to men and women who are the spouses who have received the news, often very suddenly or very unexpectedly, that their spouse is not happy. They're wanting to move out or admit they have found someone else. You may be that person who is so devastated and never knew that anything was happening in your marriage. Or you may be crying out right now in desperation as you now realize all the mistakes that you have made in your marriage. Either way, God loves you, and God is right there waiting to help you. Now let me speak to another person that may be hearing my voice today. You may be the person that was tempted in your marriage by the lust of the flesh, the lust of your eyes, by your heart, or by the temptations of the world, or by the enemy Satan, who is out to steal, kill, and destroy all people and all marriages. You may have been like Eve, who was tempted and deceived by the devil. She believed Satan's lies, and she and Adam sinned, which was the fall of man. Since the sin of Adam and Eve, every person who is born comes into this world with a sinful nature. Now let me share an excellent scripture that describes believers and unbelievers. In Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of your righteousness. Oh, dear Stander, don't let this scripture scare you or defeat you about where your spouse is. But I want you to understand what has happened to your beloved spouse. This corruption, this inborn desire to do one's own selfish way, the world's way, without concern for God or any other person, basically describes divorce, does it not? When your spouse wants their freedom from you and your children, does that not sound like he's walking away from God? Does it not sound like he's rebelling against what the Word of God says? If only your spouse had known or would remember the first and the greatest commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, we read, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." What happens to all these marriages that are getting divorced in and out of our churches? Why do you know of Christian leaders getting divorced? What has happened? Your spouse possibly was a Christian and very active in their faith, a leader in your church before they were tempted and deceived by the enemy. What happened? Possibly they may have stopped reading the Word regularly and stopped praying. Your spouse may have had a hidden sin in their life, or they were tempted by someone else. When Bob and I were having marriage problems, I knew that Bob had been unfaithful in the past. Instead of knowing how to fight for my husband and for our marriage, I allowed sin to come into my own life by not forgiving him, by keeping a record of his wrongs, by reminding him of his past failures when we would have a fight. I stuffed down my anger and bitterness and hurt so that I was not the Christ-like Christian wife that I needed to be. My own sins were pushing Bob further away, which was another trick from the enemy. You may have found us after your marriage crisis when you went searching the internet for stop divorce. You and your husband or wife have never maybe put God in your marriage. Maybe you never thought you had needed God or had time to go to church. You know, it really doesn't matter what your marriage was like. The enemy attacks all marriages and wants to destroy every family member, one person at a time. Our prayer is that every person will know the love and the power of God, that you will want to surrender your life and your marriage to following Jesus Christ. One step is by crucifying your sinful nature daily and choosing to live by the Holy Spirit. This should be your prayer for your spouse, for your children, and all your loved ones. You and I have a choice every day to walk in the carnal flesh or live by the Spirit. As I read this next scripture, you may recognize that this describes where your spouse is right now. If you're at home and have time, I hope you get a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea and get your Bible and get a notebook and start writing down some of these scriptures. You need to go back to them. You need to study them, and you need to highlight them in your Bible. These scriptures are going to help you through this crisis, through this tragedy of a spouse saying, I don't love you anymore. In fact, I don't think I ever loved you. And that's a devil's lie. Don't listen to it. Don't believe it. It's a devil's lie. But believe that God's greatest gift is love. And God loves you, and He created marriage, and He wants you and your marriage to be restored, resurrected, and He can do it. Nothing is too hard with God. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you have your Bible. And I'm going to start reading in verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do you see that if we understand this scripture, how important it is for us as Christians that we will not fall into the trap of our sinful nature and living away from the Holy Spirit, living in the sinful nature? Verse 17 continues to teach us, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that tells us there are consequences to the sinful nature, and that is where you and I need to become burdened for your spouse, where I became so burdened, overwhelmed, as I studied and read these scriptures, when the Holy Spirit started touching me and tugging me and saying, you got divorced. That was not my plan. That was your will. That was your selfishness. Now I want you to stand. I want you to stand for your husband. I have not given up on Bob, and you're not going to give up on Bob. I want you to stand. You gave up on me. You gave up on Bob, but I haven't. So here I am, verse 22. Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we need to ask every day. Lord, fill me up with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Wow, what powerful nuggets of gold that you and I need to apply to our marriages in our daily life. Well, how would you rate or measure your love toward your spouse right now? May you not allow any of the anger, the bitterness, the jealousy, fits of rage, or unforgiveness to rule in your heart. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the devil wants to push all of that on you. And everybody wants to tell you you have a right to feel all these things. But I'm saying, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say how he wants us to react to your husband or wife falling into sin? How does he want you to respond to the crisis in your marriage? Your home is on fire. It needs help. And God is the one to rescue you, your spouse, and your marriage. If you allow bitterness or anger or unforgiveness to rule in your heart, it will destroy you and any hope for restoration of your marriage. When your spouse sees or talks to you, what will they see? I pray that they will see unconditional love that is sincere, that is just filled from overflowing from the power of the Holy Spirit. Just he keeps pouring into you unconditional love. Do not allow the enemy to steal from you anything else. He's stolen your spouse. He's stolen your happiness. He's trying to steal your finances and trying to steal your security. And he's trying to steal the father or mother of your children. We need to say, enough is enough, Satan. You cannot come in and steal anything else. I pray that you will choose to walk in love and radiate the Lord's love every day to your spouse and to all others. Your spouse is not your enemy. That is what you've got to remember. Oh, I thought Bob looked like, sounded like, acted like the enemy. And I told him he was my enemy. I hated him. And I did everything that I'm telling you not to do. But I didn't have anybody teaching me at that moment. And that is what the Lord has given me the privilege to do, to share what the Word says. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's not against your spouse, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And then it says, verse 13, I'm not going to teach on it, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." That is our prayer for you today, is that you're going to stand your ground. You're going to put on the armor of God. You're going to put on love, because love covers it all. Love connects us together. And we just got to understand that love never fails. Your spouse is not the enemy. Your one flesh mate who you love so very much. And at nighttime, you cry when you're in bed. You cannot believe what has happened. You can hate what your spouse is doing, but don't hate them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, it says, "Do everything in love." And I pray that that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, four simple words, "Do everything in love." I pray that you will put that on an index card and put it in your kitchen, in the bathroom, in your car, and just do everything in love. If we can do everything in love, you and I will not have regrets of things we have said or done in anger or bitterness. But if we react and live as our flesh wants us to live, then we will have a lot of regrets and we'll have said a lot of things to a lot of people that sometimes you can't even erase. Remember, God wants us to love all people, including your worst enemy, which you may think is the other person in your spouse's life right now. Let me take you to what Jesus taught us in one of the most powerful scriptures and lessons that you need to learn in standing for marriage restoration. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. This is Jesus talking, okay? It says, "But I tell you, hear me. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Yes, this is Jesus talking to you about your problems. "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, as your Father is merciful. Oh, I love these scriptures because it is telling you how to love your spouse. It's telling you how to live your daily life. That is what happened to me on my spiritual journey with my Lord. I did not know these scriptures. Oh, I may have heard them, read them, but had I been really applying them to my daily life? Well, obviously I didn't, because Bob and I were having marriage problems and I was not loving him and blessing him. And when somebody was striking me on the one cheek, I didn't turn to him the other one. I know that you're saying, Charlene, I don't want to love my spouse right now. In fact, I've already filed for divorce, or I am divorced because I did what you did. I got so angry, so mad, I filed for divorce and I said, enough, I've drawn the line. You can't do this to me. You can't do this to our children. But that was wrong. Yes, pastors and counselors do continue to suggest divorce because it looks so hopeless. But we've got to go back to what God says. God loves us so much that when you have a marriage crisis and you have marriage problems, that He picks up one person first and He changes that person first. And I believe He's chosen you. Are you ready to start loving your husband or your wife unconditionally as God loves you today? I would never trade my spiritual journey of going through our marriage problems and divorce, because I've come to know my Lord in a way like I never known Him before. He changed my life. He became my spouse for a season. He became my all in all. His word came alive and spoke to me each and every day as I read it. Oh yes, you're going to have difficult days and there's going to be days of silence, but your Lord is going to be right there with you, holding your hand all the time. Love the Lord. Spend time with Him. Trust Him with your life and your marriage, with your children. I can promise you, He will never fail you. Yes, you have a choice. It does not matter what everyone else says. I showed my husband tough love by divorcing him. Then God showed me His unconditional love when I was racked with pain with the failure of my marriage and my husband was gone and our children were crying out for their dad. God created marriage. Don't give up on your marriage. Where are you today? There is no greater gift that you can give your spouse every week and every holiday the rest of your life than loving your spouse unconditionally, waiting on your Lord to heal and resurrect your dead marriage. God loves you. He loves your spouse. He loves your family. Will you follow your Lord instead of doing it the world's way and give up on your marriage? Will you seek the Lord for His perfect answers and His perfect way? God does speak. Now, will you obey Him and follow His will and way for your marriage? Lord, teach this dear person how to pray and help their spouse who has fallen into sin. May they choose to stand, pray, and fight and wait for them to come to their senses. Lord, give them the strength to stand firm and not to become weary because of all of the circumstances. Lord, show them your will and way how to fight for their marriage. Lord, give them true unconditional love for their spouse every day, regardless of their spouse's words, their actions, and their lifestyle. Lord, empower them to love their spouse unconditionally and remove every day any unforgiveness in their heart. Pour on them the spirit of forgiveness that only can come from the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you give them your boldness to share with their children, their family, and friends that their marriage is forever. Lord, I pray that this dear standard will never forget their wedding day, never forget their wedding vows, and that they will live them out till you return their spouse home to their family, and may they both serve you forever. Lord, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. May this be another restored marriage, suddenly and quickly, and we will praise you from the rooftops. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He loves you. Now will you show love to your spouse, to your children, and to the world? God's love will defeat the enemy. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Charlene Steinkamp. You can write the Steinkamps at P.O. Box 10548, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33061. The Steinkamps also invite you to visit their website at rejoiceministries.org.